Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Well, at least Mike, I think Matt must be caught in traffic because he hasn't told me otherwise, so hopefully he'll be joining us shortly. But we do have in the studio one of my internet advisor colleagues, I guess would be the word, right? Yeah?
That works.
Kasten Thomas, the CEO and founder of InnerWorks Technology.
Yes, sir.
Welcome aboard.
Glad to be here.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do a shameless plug for me. Because Rick Becker is my co-partner on this event, is also in the studio, so we'll get a shameless plug when he gets on board too. So we have this event coming up called IoT Tech Connect, April 4th. Troy Marriott, it's a must-see kind of event. You got to be there because we're getting the whole Michigan, mostly Southeast Michigan, technology community together, one big love-in kind of thing, right? Something like that. So we're going to be talking, obviously, about IoT, and one of the things I'm a big believer is don't connect it if you can't protect it. I imagine you agree with that, right?
Well, especially if it's going to bring down your entire plant or nuclear power plants are vulnerable. You've got all kinds of things going on with medical device security, industrial controls. There's just a lot of bad things that can happen. This is like ransomware times 1,000.
Oh, God, yeah. And everybody wants to plug into the internet because that's the big thing, right? You got to make it simple, easy, blah, blah, blah. But then they have the login is admin and the password's 1234, like on all these smart thermostats, smart TVs, anything smart in your home is a gateway for the bad guys to get in, right?
I hope we're getting past those admin password things, you know what? If somebody hits a reset the entire box, it goes back to the default admin.
It do, yeah.
So there's got to be controls in place in order to make sure that everything is secure and it's oftentimes and regularly tested and audited.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk a little bit about that. Now, probably a lot of people have heard the term IoT. I mean, it's still, if you're a techie, you know what it is. But for a lot of the business folks out there, they go, what's that all about? You know, what is that?
So, the first thing that happens when you start talking about IoT is get on the same definition of what it is. Because for some people, it's home automation. You know, smart thermometers, the Ring front door cameras, garage door openers that detect when your cell phone comes in an area and will open or close based on that. That's one aspect of the Internet of Things. You've got medical devices. I would classify a Fitbit or an iWatch as an IoT because it's Bluetooth.
Yeah, there you go.
But when we get into the really serious kinds of security that we at InnerWorks deal with, we're talking about what is starting to be called the IIoT, the Industrial Internet of Things.
Right.
So these are robotics, they're elevators, they're security cameras, the things that become the lifeblood of the operation and the control of organizations.
Yeah, we're working with Automation Alley. They're one of our affiliate sponsors to put together a track on that very thing because it's really important for folks to know about this, it's the way of the future, but there's a whole lot of things you got to deal with before you really implement it, right?
Absolutely. You've got to have your architecture and have all the different moving parts working together. You know, you have to firewall the IoT devices. You have to do patch management and make sure that they're at a current, you know, most secure version of the software. You need to be doing periodic vulnerability scans and penetration testing to make sure that the security controls that you've put in place are actually active and working the way you think they should. Because the real problem is we can spend all our time securing, but the bad guys only have to find one back door in.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big believer in penetration testing, as long as it's a white hat doing it. All right?
Yep. And there's an entire class of ethics and other standards that the white hats have to adhere by in order to be a part of that.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about your company. Now, we've talked a little bit about IoT Tech Connect, but what do you guys specialize in?
InterWorks has developed a process for finding and evaluating and deploying really, really positively disruptive. I used to say disruptive, but people get they get freaky about that.
Right.
The positively disruptive technologies, they're really game changers. Uh-huh. So we're involved a lot with the Internet of Things, naturally.
Right.
Machine learning, collaborative tools, orchestration and automation tools that are really where the venture capital is going now.
Uh-huh.
You know, Cisco and Microsoft and Checkpoint and all those big companies do a great job of those legacy systems that you have to have in place, but they're big companies. So we're looking for those innovative technologies that fill the gaps, fill those holes that exist in the security systems that are already in place, and don't replace those technologies, but leverage them and make them that much better.
So can you talk about who some of your clients are, or is it sacrosanct?
Oh, it's kind of sacrosanct, but it's well known that we've worked with the state of Michigan with some large hospital systems, not just here in Michigan, but throughout the country, some large retailers, state and local government, schools. We're all over the map because there are people who are looking for the advanced technologies because the bad guys are using artificial intelligence and they are advancing very, very fast. The bad guys are innovative. So we're really looking for those innovative white hat technologies that keep pace or even surpass what the bad guys are doing.
Yeah, but it pays more when you're a bad guy, right? So that's why the bad guys are so good. They have some of the best hackers in the world.
Oh, I don't know. There are a lot of information security leaders who have made billions of dollars. The problem with the black hats is that there's always that risk. And when they get too big, they become a bigger target and easier to spot, easier to find because they're leaving footprints as well.
Sure.
So without being the Russians or the North Koreans or ISIS who have
Chinese
teams,
right.
Yeah, who have that state-sponsored kind of hacking behind them where they can disrupt their networks and change things, the bad guys, they're well-organized, organized crime types of enterprises. But again, when they get too big, they start leaving a footprint and they're easier to identify. You can't run stealth when you're big.
Right.
So you see a lot of movement and a lot of changes in that. But they are using a lot of innovative collaboration tools. They've built an entire black market on what's called the dark web.
Right.
So the good guys, I'm optimistic about what's happening and protecting ourselves. I'm not a doomsdayer. I know that there are a lot of things that we have to address, but with what I'm seeing in where venture capital's going and the kinds of technologies that are emerging, it's becoming more and more difficult for the bad guys to penetrate the networks.
One of our unicorns here in the state, in fact, we only had two, is Duo Security out of Ann Arbor.
Absolutely great company.
What do you think of Doug and company? Are they on the right track?
They are definitely on the right track, and they're expanding what they're doing beyond just the two-factor base product that they have. And virtually everybody I talk to in the security market is trying to figure out how to integrate with them.
Okay. Yeah, that's and right there in Ann Arbor, they just got $1 billion corporate valuation. The last one to get that was they sold it to Pfizer. I'm drawing a blank here. They made that medical stuff for what is that?
Thinking about
Stryker? Roger? Yeah, right. We just only had $2 billion companies in valuation in the state history. So
wow.
That's cool, right?
Yeah, I try to keep my nose to the grindstone, so that kind of thing is outside of my area of expertise. So I'm not going to comment on it.
Okay. All right. So what do you see out there this year for the Internet of Things? And what are some of the big issues? Ransomware is going to be with us forever, I suppose.
It's going to be with us because it's constantly dynamic. There's a lot of changes coming. You're starting to see the concept of ransomware as a service evolve so that the average layman can go out and conduct their own ransomware campaigns. To me, that is a very, very dangerous trend because now schools and local governments who publish all this information online become more susceptible because a person can take that publicly available information and then create ransomware packages that they can email to them that looks like it's coming from a constituent and are likely to get opened. So state, school, local governments have to be more in tune to that kind of threat and make sure that their technological pieces are in place in order to prevent that kind of thing.
Yeah, my philosophy is when someone sends me something they want me to click on or has an attachment, if I'm not expecting it, I will contact them and say, did you actually send this to me and what is it?
Our company got a purchase order from one of our clients and we opened it. Our technology stopped it because everything looked natural, but that client's email had been hacked. Mm. So all of those naturally occurring kinds of things that would indicate that it was bad, they weren't there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fortunately, our technology stopped that.
That's good. All right, we only got a little over a minute left, so we got everybody all excited. They want to be working with InnerWorks Technology. Keston Thomas, the CEO. So how can they reach out to you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. Our web address is iWorksTech, iWorksTech.com. Don't know that we're right for everybody, but
bigger players maybe. Right?
A lot of the bigger companies, but it's really more being willing to accept that some of this technology is new, but we're doing the kinds of things to mitigate that risk by evaluating these companies and looking at their leadership and the venture capital that's behind them. And there are a lot of great things coming out of Michigan in the marketplace. There are a couple of technologies that could evolve to the next Duo.
Yes.
So
wouldn't that be nice?
We're looking at getting those people into the IoT conference that we're sponsoring. A few of those are around the concept of securing the Internet of Things. The other thing that we're looking at that's really advanced is what's called the software-defined perimeter. And there's an old-time security guru named Bob Moskowitz who has years and years and is one of the brilliant thinkers in setting Internet of Things security standards throughout the industry.
We'll have to invite him to speak at the show on April 4th at the Troy Marriott. I got to put in one more shameless plug.
Be a good one, but he is a rocket scientist and he talks like a rocket scientist.
Okay. All right, we're going to let Keston stay on the show with us. We're still not sure what Matt's situation is, so I think you're stuck with me for the short time. We're going to be right back after this brief commercial announcement with some folks from Decipher Corporation.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Okay, it's Mike Brennan, and we're missing Matt Rausch today. I'm not sure whether weather impacted him or whether he's going to be joining us. I haven't heard. But you got me today, and we also have calling in. Andrew, is it pronounced Agbe?
Yep, Agbe.
Agbe, okay. Founder and president of Decipher Corporation. All the way over in Berkeley, Michigan.
That's right. Just outside of, just north of Detroit, just bordering Royal Oak near Birmingham.
Yeah, well, our studio's in Royal Oak, so we could probably hit you with a stone from here. So anyway, I have to tell you, normally Keith Brophy, the state director of the MISBDC, does these segments, and he is tied up with Jeff Mason at MEDC today, all these acronyms, right? So I don't know much about your company, so why don't you tell me a little about what you guys do?
Sure. We were incorporated back in 1999, and I saw a need when I was working for a large insurance company. I was working in the finance department, the controller department. We were in charge of forecasting, planning, kind of root cause analysis on different trends, data trends. And what I found was that our typical workday was comprised of developing reports that we would send up to our home office or to our management or to sales leaders. And we really weren't doing the analysis portion of our job. We would churn out PowerPoint slides and Excel graphics and PDF reports for presentations. So there wasn't much analysis going on. And we had a staff of really smart people putting together really pretty packages that just sat in front of a slideshow and really weren't doing kind of the analysis and type of work that they were really hired to do. So we started as a team automating some of these reports, we can still satisfy that need because that's not going to go away. Managers and salespeople and presidents are going to want their reports. So we found a way to automate those, which freed up time for us to actually analyze and really change business practices through our analysis while still providing that graphic support that we were kind of charged or tasked with doing. Well, I left that company in 99 and started off on my own because I saw there was a need in the marketplace. And then just over the years, we've expanded from there. We still typically work with business-to-business type arrangements. We work with financial teams or with sales teams. And our typical customer is a team that takes data from Excel or PeopleSoft or different production systems, and then daily or weekly or monthly, they have to manipulate that data, create slides, and then distribute them out to their sales force or to their different departments. We automate that. We take care of all the database components. We take care of all the user interface, the security. So that way people can log in, they can see the results, jobs run overnight. Those teams that typically create those elements now are relieved from that work, and they're usually repurposed in areas where they're better served anyway. So that's really been the essence of our company. Michael?
Sounds like administration as a service or something like that, right?
Right, exactly. Managing the data, automating reports, distributing them out to the right people so they get the right message in the right people's hands more promptly and really in a more aesthetic format so these people can actually act on the reports and on the graphics that they receive.
So I'm curious, how many folks do you have working for you there in Berkeley?
We have 15. Actually, we had a new hire start today. I'm looking at her. It's her first day on the job. She just we interviewed her a couple weeks ago, and we brought her on. So we have 15 right here in downtown Berkeley, and in a great new spot. We just actually moved in here just over a year ago. We'd been renovating it for it was like 5 years it actually took. It was really an old building, a 100-year-old building that we had to really gut and redo everything, and it's turned out to be really a gem for us and for all the employees.
Okay, and since Matt's not here, I'll ask the Matt question. Are you still hiring?
We are. We still have an opening out there. We can't always have a spot available because we're growing, so we've got to kind of keep our eyes open. We recently just had a large change with one of our companies requiring us to really expand some of the work we're doing. So that's been part of the reason for the ramp up. So we still have an opening.
Okay. From your perspective, what is one of the biggest challenges small businesses face that prevent them from utilizing or collecting their data well?
I would say it's probably twofold. Either if they're small enough, they probably don't have a staff dedicated to managing their data. So they probably their information sits in Excel tables instead of a centralized database. They don't have database administrators that manage that. So the way they leverage the data gets really clunky really fast if they have multiple Excel files or Word documents comprising of the, holding that information. And then on the other hand, on large companies, I think what happens is the people that do run those functions, they get so separated from the business, from the actual users of the data, the consumers, that they lose sight of what the customers want. Database administrators typically have a different focus than, let's say, the users of the data. And that's really where we help bridge that gap. We have a great staff, but we bridge the gap between what the customer needs and what the data can do. And I think those are probably the two largest challenges small businesses face.
Do you use artificial intelligence to help you mine that database, or how do you do it?
It's not AI as it's become known recently. We develop different models that we apply to the data, different structures that we put in place, but it's not necessarily evolving on its own. They're typically defined set of business rules that we apply, or different logic components that work the data, massage the data, and then aggregate the metrics or the reporting elements that the customers need.
How do you handle the cybersecurity? We have with us in the studio today, Kasten Thomas, who's a cybersecurity expert. So I was kind of curious. Obviously, a lot of people are tapping your database. How do you keep the bad guys out and the good guys in?
Yeah, he can't tell you those things, Mike.
One of the largest benefits that we have, for instance, our three largest clients, they're Fortune 100 companies, and we tend to leverage their infrastructure. We don't usually take data off campus, so we leverage their hardware, we leverage their environment, we work with their security teams. They do security scans on everything that we do. It works out well that way because, one, we don't have to worry about security moving data on or off the campus. Two, we follow their protocol exactly. Three, they can scrutinize anything that we're doing because everything's within their environment. And it just works out really well from that perspective because there's really just one set of rules that we have to follow. It's the set of rules of the client. And it's really worked out very well for us. It's a really nice model.
So what has been the largest impact on your business growth?
I'll be honest with you, the aesthetics and the way we present the data. I think nowadays people are used to seeing dashboards, or I know Tableau's become a really big tool, and there are a lot of different dashboards out there. And if you really look at them, they might look pretty, but are they really telling the right story? That's kind of the key. If I look at a graph and it's really not telling me, okay, what's driving that growth or why, or I can't drill down, I can't really quickly see what's the reason behind the trend, or that the trend isn't telling me what I really need to know, then it's just a pretty picture and it's not helping to drive business results or improve where the company's going. We're really skilled at finding out what elements are important, finding the best ways to present those elements and present them to the people that need to see those elements in the right way. And then that really helps drive business results. Those pictures are great, but if they're not telling the right story, then it's really a waste of resources, and it doesn't take care of the job that it's supposed to take care of.
What are the things that the folks at the MISBDC, this is their segment, by the way, flagged is that in 2017 you were named a Michigan 50 company to watch. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how did that all work out? That would be for last year, because this would be 2018. I don't think they've named the 2018s yet, have they? So, yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. What was that like going to? I think you went to the Lansing Center and collected your award and all that. Do they also take you to the governor's residence that he never uses?
Right. Yeah, right. We did. It was a pretty fantastic affair. We hired a Michigan State grad a year and a half ago, and he was a marketing student. We had him in an internship, and you know, he worked out so great for us. We kept him on board. And one of the first things he came to us and said, you know, we've got really a heck of a company here. And we're not promoting ourselves the right way. And I don't have a marketing background, so I couldn't really argue with him. And when the nominations were brought up about this award and we were nominated, he said, let's really pursue it. And that was, it was fantastic. I really wasn't, we weren't that familiar with SPAM and Small Business Association of Michigan. And you know what? It was fantastic. The different entities that are associated with SPAM.
We should correct you. It's pronounced SBAM because SPAM is something quite different. So
yeah.
SBAM. Yes.
Gotcha. So yeah, it was a fantastic event. You know, they took really good care of us. The networking that came from that was incredible. There were a lot of really great companies up there, and we actually took all our employees up there for an overnight for the gala and for the presentation. We had three tables of people, and it was really spectacular. It was a great event, and I'm really happy to be associated with them.
Yeah, I'm a media sponsor of that every year, so I've been up there a half a dozen times or so. It's a great event, and luckily it's in May when the weather is cooperating versus today. Very right. Weird Michigan weather, yes. So what kind of advice would you give to other entrepreneurs as they grow their business to be in a position like winning the 50 Companies to Watch Award?
Don't be afraid to take risks. You know, I think if you're a small company, you've already taken a big risk just in incorporating, but continue to keep your eyes open. Look for opportunities that might be kind of welling up near you, and don't be afraid to kind of latch onto one of them or explore it. And then the second thing, you know, really take care of your employees. That's probably one of the strongest suits we have. We cater lunch every Tuesday. We do an event every 2 months where we go off site and we do a social event. We pack lunches for the hungry once a month as a team. And it's, you know what, if you take care of your people, they'll take care of you. And our turnover's been practically zero. We lost one employee who went back to school, but everyone else has really been with us from the onset. And that's really a pretty good track record, and we're just lucky to have such an amazing
Andrew Eggman, founder and president of Decipher Corp. Why don't you give the audience a quick reference to how they can reach out to you?
Sure. You can look us up on the web, Decipher Corp, DecipherCorp.com. It's really the best way to get in touch with us. We just updated the website. We've got the new pictures of our new building. And I think we've done a really great job, and all our awards and our background information are comprised there.
All right. Well, thanks very much for being on M Squared TechCast today. This is Mike Brennan. We will be right back with Rick Beckers from Cloud Tech One and Son Eric. Stand by.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Wow, huh? I just did a mad dash to the lobby and back. So that's my exercise for the day. Now I need a drink. But no, I'm moving right along. We have with us one of my business partners, Rick Beckers from Cloud Tech One. I'm going to get it right, in Rochester Hills. I always want to put you in Farmington Hills.
Yeah.
It's closer, you know. So I live in Ann Arbor. So anyway, Rick and I are doing an event together in April, April 4th.
Coming together nicely.
Oh, yeah, a lot of work, huh?
Right.
So, and Kasten's joining us in the studio. Kasten Thomas from InnerWorks. He's going to help us with that as well.
Security
there
side.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Turn that cybersecurity on, and then of course we have Eric.
Hello.
We have to have a role for
Eric's birthday was yesterday.
Yeah. So you were like 29 or no, no, okay. No. 19, 20?
20.
20. Okay, I knew you're out of your teens now, so.
Yeah, so.
So what was your dad get you work on the show or what?
We're going to put him to work on the security side of.
Oh yeah, he bounces. He could be bouncing people out of there. I think that would work, yeah.
Well, he's old enough to fight but not old enough to drink.
Yep, there you go. Hey. Sounds like when I was, we had this little conflagration going on in Vietnam when I was his age, and they said the same thing, you know, so. But anyway, we digress. So April 4th, it is coming together. I'm kind of doing the content stuff, and then Rick's doing all the other organizational stuff. And I got to tell you, when we thought this up last March, I didn't envision anything quite like this. This is a whole different kind of experience.
Right on. Yeah, the contacts that we've had to make over and over and over again to get people, the right people in place, and you've done a tremendous job of that, reaching out to all sorts of organizations and people and, I mean, speakers. And
twisting arms all over the place. Exactly. You know, I'm calling in all them favors from all them years, right?
Hey, you know? It's so, Mike. I got an offer you can't refuse.
That's it, yeah. I'll send my boys around, you know, so... but it's good. And then we're thinking maybe 1,000 folks are going to show up. It's hard to say.
I mean, that was our conservative thought in the beginning, but now that it's coming together and the people that are involved, I honestly think that we're going to be, you know, above and beyond that.
Well, we should cite a couple factors here. We have Planet M, which is the MEDC's planet mobility effort, which is the governor's brainchild, is the title sponsor. Mm-hmm. And then I just worked this out last week. Tanya Matthews, CEO of the Michigan Science Center, is our MC.
Right. We were shooting for Bob Barker. But,
yeah, you know, Bob Barker, but, you know, people didn't, he couldn't, his walker wouldn't work right, you know, for all them stairs and things. So, but Tanya is doing a wonderful job. She's hoping to bring in some major companies like Google.
Right.
And so I'm waiting to hear on that, obviously, right?
For sure.
And then perhaps Toyota and Ford, because they're big backers of the Science Center. She's going to be running a STEM education track. And then Kasten, go ahead, weigh in. He's going to help us. Kasten Thomas from InnerWorks. Another shameless plug there for you, Kasten.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you're going to be helping us get organized for cybersecurity because...
I'm not helping to get organized. We're organized.
And we've got, all right.
We've got a number of people that we're reaching out to that are absolutely world-class when it comes to perspectives on internet security and particularly the Internet of Things.
Uh-huh.
And my concern, and this is the first I've heard that we're expecting to exceed the 1,000, that facility is only so large. So I guess you better order your tickets now and get involved now. Absolutely. Otherwise, you may not have a seat.
That's right.
Yeah, and we're hoping to have about 50 vendors. And then I know in the lobby standing by is our friends from Warner Norcross and Judd LLP. I was corrected on the title this
morning.
One of the
sponsors of the VIP networking reception.
Yes, Comcast Business being the other.
Right.
So, and we got the Michigan Manufacturing Technology Center sponsoring the speaker press room.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a rolling.
Bunches of affiliates that are technology related that are stepping up and helping us. Bring the word or put the word out there and bring folks in. Automation Alley,
Tech248. Inforums Engage program. We're going to have female entrepreneurs there. Oh, and then I'm working on
the pitch.
Yes. I'm having that. Well, we're having that conference call tomorrow afternoon.
Really?
The Kaiba Incubator is going to help us organize an IoT pitch contest for startups.
Right.
And they've never done IoT. So this
is
all
the entrepreneurs
first.
Out there. You know, let's get out there and. Bring your good stuff up.
Yep.
Put the pitch on.
Yep.
Get some funding for all that intellectual property that you're working on.
I have a scary sight. I'm looking at my old fraternity brother who's standing outside the door who's getting ready to walk in for this segment, Jay Kennedy.
Does he
Kennedy.
Have papers with him?
we have to do the Theta Chi salute here in a second, right? Yeah. So we digress. But anyway, yeah, so one.
As a security guy, I'm going to be taking notes on the secret handshake.
Secret handshake, yes. Well, we'd ask you the questions, but we can't give that away either, right? Because they'd kill us if we, right? Can't.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, they'd worse than kill you.
So, anyway, Jay Kennedy is going to be talking about the federal tax program that the Congress passed here a couple weeks ago. That'll be our last segment. Right? And, of course, we want to Can you turn his microphone on if you get a chance, sir? He just sat down, so we're doing the show on the fly
on the
here
fly
today.
Yes.
Lean into the microphone, Jay. So, yes, Warner Norquist and Judd is our VIP reception sponsor for our big event on April 4th. Joe Melnick, love Joe, you know, so.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what we were talking about is, we had
a full day of stuff going on there.
We probably should talk about also your disaster and business continuity project that you just, it's one of the things we were going to talk about, and somehow it got swept under the rug there,
well,
you know,
right.
So.
Yeah, we'll go all over the map.
All right, so hit that real hard, then we'll turn back to the shameless plug for IoT Tech Connect, you know.
Okay. So at Cloud Tech One, we're always looking at the horizon to try to find better business solutions. To apply technology and solve problems. And one of the ongoing challenges for any business is business continuity, the ability to stay up and running when you have problems, and problems are inevitable. Or business disaster recovery, how to recover as quickly as possible when you have a problem. And, you know, these solutions have been around in different shapes and forms for years. Everybody used to have a tape and then we've gotten away from that and gotten to disk-to-disk stuff, and there's now local copies and cloud copies, and all of that was fine and dandy, but business being what it is and the fact that it's mission-critical, your RTO, your return to operation, needs to be smaller and smaller, and so we're looking at a solution now that can do that with a push of a button in 15 minutes. So you could have a total system failure and then have an image of all your systems and fail over to that in 15 minutes. And even that isn't as new as you would think, even though it sounds like quite a challenge. But now what's different about it is this is a total as-a-service service, and that all of the hardware that you used to have to buy up front in order to be able to accomplish this capability is given to you free.
So let Cloud Tech One be your IT department, right?
That's right. Okay. Terabytes and terabytes of data. You know, you can store it out there, have a complete image of it, and let's say your building gets taken out. I can put you in the cloud and have you completely up and running within a matter of minutes, and you can conclude that business for up to 30 days out of the year. And all the while, obviously, we're rebuilding whatever it is that was taken out to put you back into your production environment. Or it might just be a maintenance situation where somebody's got to take your systems down in order to do a version upgrade of this, that, and the other. Well, you want to stay in production while that's happening, and you can fall back to these systems and have full failover.
What about ransomware? Somebody hits you with ransomware? You got that covered?
Got you covered. So we've got versions and versions of your data out there in the cloud and on this local appliance. And should you be affected, we can roll you back to full data capabilities within seconds.
Wow. Impressive, huh, Kasten?
Very impressive.
Yes. And then what happens if the place gets hit by a tornado, flood, hurricane, whatever? You got that covered too?
Well, sure. Because the local copy, which is, it's there for the fast, you know, recovery,
because mm-hmm.
you don't have to go to the cloud. But you've got a copy in the cloud of the identical images of your servers. And so you can actually run off of those if need be while we're repairing the buildings and the stuff on the ground.
All right. So all is good.
Yeah, it's a great service. Like I said, we've been able to do it with other products, but those products and those solutions became very expensive because you had to buy and own the hardware up front in order to put your data on it. Now we've got a system and a service that'll actually give you that hardware free. So you could call us up, and within a matter of days, the hardware would be delivered to your site. We would seed the data, and then once it's seeded and in full synchronization, all of your data is replicated first to a local device and then secondly up to the cloud. And if you have a failure, you can be back in operation in 15 minutes.
Huh.
Yeah, and the real key to that is the way that it's integrated, because there used to be multiple parts and all those had to work in sync. And if you weren't testing that constantly, version controls and that kind of thing could really whack you when you went to do that restore the facility or the data. Because this is integrated, it just makes a lot of sense, because now it's validated by Rick and his team to be operational from, you know, an instant when it's needed. So that's an important key to it.
Yep. The help desk and all that support and the monitoring is all built into the service.
And it costs how much?
Roughly $188 per terabyte. And obviously that scales by volume. So, you know, we've got clients that need hundreds of terabytes, and we're still capable of doing that. So all of the sizing and the consulting that goes into determining what the cost factor is all done free of charge up front. And I believe we can actually even do a 30-day trial for you.
Excuse me. So it saves you a lot of money, though, right? If you're going to do this, company was going to do this on its own, lots of money, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the hardware itself for the platform for the replication to take place could be tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that investment is no more.
All right. We'll
provide all the hardware, turn on the service, and away you go.
So you'd be a little frog in my throat there. So let's hit that part with if they want more information.
Sure. If you want more information, you always go to our website at www.cloudtech1.com, or you can call us at the easy-to-remember number of 855-6-CLOUD-1. Holler out a window. Somebody will hear you.
Okay, I like that. And then let's go back, turn back to our big event, which we will continue to shamelessly plug over the next couple of months.
IoT Tech Connect.
Yes. So exciting. I'm rallying the tech community. Everybody that's worked with me over the years, I'm kind of saying, hey, let's have a big show and show what we can do.
Right. All about what Michigan can do with IoT on all different planes, right?
And Kasten is from the Internet Advisor Show on WJR. I call in every Saturday to my five-minute plug on what's going on with technology news. And so we're going to have Foster involved. You might even get Gary Baker to come up from Florida. No promises on that, right? You know, so we're hoping to get the governor. I have been leaning hard on his executive assistant, Allison Scott, about bringing him in.
And I've indicated positively that
something's going to happen. Yeah. I don't know whether to get him in the flesh or the video. I'm going for the flesh, you know. Right. So it'll be fun. And then again, thanks again to Warner Norcross and Judd for being our VIP reception sponsor in the evening. Make sure you get a ticket there, Jay. What do you think? You want to come?
Yeah.
Got to lean in, Jay. All right. Turn your mic on.
I don't know how much time we got, Mike, but maybe we could even give them a visual
minutes?
Kind of.
One minute. We got 1 minute.
So they walk into the facility and register, and you walk into the main ballroom where your keynotes are going to be. There's going to be 50 10 by 10 booths of all different vendors of all different kinds having to do with IoT.
Cool breakout sessions.
Yeah. We got four breakout rooms with six different breakout sessions throughout the day on different topics like cybersecurity.
And now we got the IoT pitch competition with Kaiba.
Right.
And the winner gets to be in the Kaiba incubator.
Right.
So,
and this is a full day. And then at the end of the day, we've got the
big reception.
VIP networking reception.
Drinking, cavorting, business card exchanging, all that
good
stuff.
All the who's who of IoT from 5:30 to 8:30.
There you go.
So you know what? Trying to get to Orlando or to Silicon Valley or San Francisco for a conference of this quality.
Big pain.
You know, it's an entire day or 2 days of travel, a lot of expense. The idea that you can get up, drive to Troy, get your breakfast there, network with people.
That's right. We feed you too.
World-class experts telling you about what this is about, how to secure it, how to deploy it.
And it's Michigan-focused. That's the thing is
– right.
We're going to run along here. So it's Michigan-focused, so it's really – Michigan IoT versus Rick goes to all these shows in Vegas and wherever. That's the international thing. This is our show.
Well, when you look at what Detroit Edison is doing when it comes to IoT, what Consumers Power is doing in the home automation, world class activity. When you look at connected car, which is Internet of Things, you've got world class experts, engineers, developers, financiers putting big bucks into that. And those people are going to be the kinds of people who are attending. And I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Okay, we're going to have to wrap this segment, IoTTechConnect.com and CloudTech1.com. I think we got all the reach out part gun.
That's right. Yeah. All the details are out on that website, IoTTechConnect.com, and you can register right there as well.
Okay, now Jay Kennedy from Warner Norcross and Judd shortly is going to be scaring you about the new tax act, but we'll be right back after our commercial break.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Roush, the ever prompt and punctual Matt Roush.
Yeah, he dropped in for the fourth segment. But,
yes.
I was wondering. I kept looking at my phone because usually you text me if there's an issue.
Well, there's just a little bit of weather out there, and I would have been a bit late anyway because of something that I ran into at my day job. You know, that's darn day jobs.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, you know, but so. It took me like 40 minutes to get here from Southfield, so it's not fun out there, folks. Drive safely, please, if you're listening live.
Yeah. So we have with us... Bon vivant, man about town, Jay Kennedy.
Well-known street fighter.
I can say all these things because Jay and I have known each other since we were, 20 years old or so?
Yeah.
We were Theta Chi's at U of M. Our slogan was Data Guy from Theta Chi, right?
Right.
Okay,
right.
Things have changed, though. So, yes. False. That's fake news there, you know. So, right. But now Jay is working with one of our sponsors, Warner Norcross, and Judd LLP. I was corrected by Jessica Holland this morning. So we got to get that in there. And you're going to be talking about the new tax law. And I got to tell you, I consume news programming, and I still don't understand what the heck's going on with that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what our listeners need to know?
Well, I think the first thing is that even though initially this was called tax reform and tax simplification, it really wasn't. I guess to some extent for individuals receiving wages, W-2s, their taxes might be a little simplified because they've cut down on some of the deductions and they'll like the lower tax rates. But what we're going to talk about today really is something that is definitely not simplified, and that is the choice of entity for small and medium-sized, closely held businesses and, you know, how they should structure their tax structure so that they can take advantage of some of these new rules.
All right. So if there's anything we know, it's that taxes are never simple. What should companies consider with this new law in effect?
Well, the big thing and what we want to talk about is choice of entity. What is the best tax structure for operating the company? And there are some considerations. There's basically two types of business entities. One is what's called a C corp, and those are that's based on a provision in the tax code, the subchapter C. Those are regular corporations. That includes, of course, multinational and large corporations, but also some small, closely held companies. What's happened for them is that they have a new 21% flat tax rate, which is pretty exciting for them. It was a 35%. So you can see that's a huge
I'm
reduction.
A C-Corp, so I was very – yay! You know, so good, yeah.
Now, the other basic type of entity is called a pass-through entity, and those include S-Corps and LLCs and partnerships where the income, rather than being taxed at the entity level, is taxed at the shareholder level or owner level. At the individual tax rates, now the tax rates for individuals have gone down somewhat. The top rate's now 37%. It was almost 40%.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also for these pass-through entities, there's this new deduction we're going to talk about the for qualified business income. There's a 20% deduction that is available to most of those entities.
Okay. I didn't know until I my CPA was telling me this. LLPs, if they're a single entity, you're still treated as a sole proprietor, right?
Well, an LLC,
limited liability company.
An LLP
right.
is a limited liability partnership.
LLC.
LLC, yeah. Single member LLC is what's called a disregarded entity and is taxed like a sole proprietorship.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, that's why I changed. So, All right. So for our listeners, you kind of talked a little bit about the various advice that you would give. How would you structure companies then?
Yeah, let's why don't we start with the C-Corp?
Okay.
Because that's, a lot of the excitement's been with this new flat rate, 21% tax rate.
Okay.
There's no shareholder tax because it's not a pass-through entity. There's no shareholder tax until earnings are actually distributed.
Hmm.
So if an entity is in the building mode and they're retaining earnings and investing in equipment, arguably they're not distributing earnings and they are not going to pay, the shareholders are not going to pay that tax. Now, once those earnings are distributed, and that'll occur either when the company makes dividends or when the business is sold, then there'll be a double tax. The shareholders are going to be taxed on those dividends. But that may be, years away. So, and that tax now is on the dividends is 20%. Several years ago, they lowered the rate on corporate dividends dividends to 20%. So again, if you've got a company that's reinvesting earnings and not distributing current earnings, arguably they should consider at least a C corp.
Mm-hmm.
So where? How would you start? What would be the top things you would start with in terms of consideration? Are there three or four bullet points that you really need to start with when you're considering what form to take?
Yeah, I would say the top things are: what are you going to do with current earnings? Are you going to distribute current earnings? Are you going to have startup losses? If you're a pass-through entity with losses, arguably you want to capture those at the individual level, have those pass through to the individual owners. So that's a question. And I guess the big thing is what's going to happen? How soon are you going to sell the business? If you've got somebody that wants to start something, build it up and have a fairly quick sale, there's a big advantage to a pass-through entity because you'll avoid that double tax on the gain on the sale.
Hmm.
And that's certainly the case with a lot of venture-backed companies and tech
companies. Yeah, so say that sounds like our audience right there, right?
Yeah, they've got to be careful. This 21% sounds great, but you've really got to work with your tax advisor and come up with kind of a business plan,
mm-hmm,
and figure out what's the long-term prognosis. What are you going to do? Are you going to be in and out, or are you going to, build up the business and reinvest earnings?
Real quick questions for individuals. One of the biggest bones of contention about this thing was losing certain individual deductions like state and local taxes and student loan interest and that kind of thing. Where did that finally end up? Because there were so many versions of this. I'm a news junkie and even I don't know.
Well, they did not get rid of state and local taxes. But what they did is they said you can deduct both state and local income tax and property tax, a combination up to $10,000.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
So, a lot of people in Michigan.
That covers you in Dearborn then,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
Well, okay. Uncle Henry pays for a lot of things. Property taxes are pretty low in Dearborn.
Okay. So.
Don't forget, though, it's your combined income tax,
right,
state
right.
income tax. But, yeah, Michigan people are probably not, if you're in New York or California with very high property taxes, those are the people that
You live in Ann Arbor like I do.
Yeah,
so,
okay. Yeah.
How about student loans? What do they do with that?
That's interest is still deductible.
Okay.
What about charitable donations? I heard they were going to cut that, but
no. They talked about it. That's right. They talked about putting a cap, but no, those actually, arguably, those are the only itemized deduction left. Most people, the state and local and the, the medical is, most people can't take that now anyway. But
it's got to be so much.
Yeah.
Right,
7% of your total gross income or something like that?
Yeah. But
I'm not that sick.
Yeah.
Depends on how you look at it.
Well,
but charitable, there are some opportunities for charitable. Now, the standard deduction is $24,000. So arguably, if you've got somebody,
that's big, yeah.
If you got somebody that's paid off their mortgage, which most people our age, you know, hopefully will have paid
close,
off their mortgage.
Right, yeah.
Our
yeah,
age? No.
You know,
not maybe, even close.
Not even close. I'm still. I got lots of fight left there.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big mortgage, maybe. But,
probably, yeah. You know.
But anyway, other than the mortgage, you got your taxes and the charitable. So, so and you're going to use up the $10,000 probably with property taxes and income taxes.
Yeah.
So about the only deduction left is the, once you get over the standard deduction, is charitable. So charities should be.
I just got held up by the U of M for my annual bloodletting so I can buy football tickets in the fall. I'm sure you just went through that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, U of M. You know, so I was hoping I could still write that off. Yeah.
Is that the personal seat license thing? Is that count as a
just
deduction?
The right to buy the tickets for another $1,000 or something?
Yeah, the mandatory voluntary donation.
Yes, we have to give to Jim Harbaugh, our new god. Yes,
you know.
So we're digressing again here. So we're probably.
I had a question.
Got time for
if
about
I
one
could.
More. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. As a person who owns multiple businesses, and some were created before, and some were just created, these changes. Do they also then give you the ability to change your entity's structure, you know, from left to right and back again?
Yes, they do. These new rules apply to both new entities and existing entities. And so you may want, for example, if you've got an LLC or an S corp,
right.
You may want to look at converting to a C, although I'll caution you that you really want to talk to your tax advisor before you do that. But, yeah, these new rules definitely apply to new and existing entities.
Yeah, I recall, though, that you could go once one way, you know, LLC to corp, but you couldn't go back.
Well, it's expensive generally to go from a corp to a passive entity, that's right, because it's a little complicated, but you almost never want to do that.
Okay.
You're going to trigger a tax. You can elect out of S status, but then you can't elect back in. Remember, S is the pass-through corporation, so you can elect out, but then you got to generally wait 5 years to elect back in. So you got to be careful.
Right.
And to complicate it even more, I'll just mention that this 20% deduction at the for the shareholders of a pass-through business or the owners is scheduled to phase out in 2026.
Oh.
So now you know, optimistically, you could say, well, if this all works out, everybody's going to, you know, vote to, you know, to preserve it. But who knows?
Who knows? And that's a long ways away.
And that's something they had to do to get it through under the rules they've got for deficit reduction, right? They had to give it a 10-year sunset.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard.
Interesting.
So that's another factor that, you know, you've got to, look at with your advisors.
What do we got? About 4 minutes left. Okay.
So get out your crystal ball here. Do you think this is going to help the economy, and especially the people that we care about the most, which is pretty much entrepreneurial?
Entrepreneurs in general, but tech entrepreneurs
tech-based businesses in Michigan. So,
yeah, I do actually. You know, there are two significant cuts, both for a C corp and for a pass-through entity. You know, the C corp's got their tax rate cut not quite in half, but, you know, a huge reduction. This 20% deduction, which is new for pass-through entities, means that they've got a big tax break. Built within that 20% deduction, there are there's limitations based on wages and on investment in new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So there are big incentives to do that. So I think it's going to be good for not only for the owners, but also for employment and capital growth. I think it's good for both. This is not just favoring one over the other. It's I think it's going to be good for everybody. And, you know, and I guess we're starting to see some of that, although, I'm not sure.
Well, the new withholding tables start on Thursday,
I think that's right, yeah.
So, well, you'll get it. Being an entrepreneur, I don't worry about that stuff, but you get a regular paycheck. So,
yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how much more dough you get in there, right?
Yeah, it will be interesting. So, I mean, it's been kind of a wash for the last, you know, couple of years, but this will be interesting to see what the first major changes, you know, that we've seen in quite some time.
Get that Ferrari or something, right?
I'm thinking more Lambo.
Oh, Lambo. Okay. So we got 2 minutes left, and so now we talked about, well, how can folks, they go, wow, this guy, I got to talk to him. How can they do that? Jay Kennedy from Warner and Norcross and Judd LLP.
Well, they can go on our website if they want to talk to me or one of our other tax people.
Well, they'd want to talk to you because now you're a celebrity.
Yeah,
so.
Well, great. I can give you my phone number. Is
sure.
that appropriate?
I got it on the sheet here, so if you don't, I will.
Yeah,
you know, so.
It's 248-784-5180, and I'd be happy to talk with people or their accountants.
What do you prefer, people or accountants? They're not the same.
Yeah, yeah. it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be a busy year. In fact,
exciting
to elect out of. I know taxes and exciting doesn't usually. Go
only
together,
the governor being an accountant himself would relate taxes as being exciting.
Yeah,
you know?
I started out working with the governor.
Oh, did
at
you?
Cooperson Librand. So I.
Yeah, when he introduced his dashboard, I was at that news conference, and he goes, "This is very exciting stuff," and we're all looking at each other, going, "What?" Yeah. You know, so.
No. Oh, boy, numbers.
Oh,
tables
yeah.
of numbers.
I love
graphs.
That stuff.
Giant
you know?
Tables of numbers.
And then your email address is?
Yeah, it's J, the letter J, Kennedy at WNJ.com.
All right. I want to thank our tax law expert, Jay Kennedy, from Warner Norcross and Judd LLP, and the rest of our guests today. Rick Becker, CEO of CloudTech One, always a welcome guest.
Thank you.
Decipher Corporation from the Michigan Small Business Development Center. And we kicked off the show with cybersecurity expert Kasten Thomas.
We did.
Yeah. Not that I was here for it.
No, you missed that part.
Okay.
So,
well, I will have to listen.
You were very stealthy today, man.
Yeah. Gee, Mike, how can I listen to segments of the show?
Well, Gersh, it's available on we put out those MP3 segments on MI Tech News.
Okay.
And then – you know, send them out to our 5,000 or so email subscribers. I can't talk today. I haven't eaten a drink here.
Yeah.
So, but
it's because it's Diet Verner's, it's not,
that's
you know,
it.
You need
yeah,
more help
it's
than
like
that.
Going to my head.
Yeah.
It's available. We get it out there.
Okay.
You know, put it on social media.
Yeah, mitechnews.com if you want to check out any prior segments from any of our prior shows.
Yep, there's a lot of them. We're on 113 now, I think.
Okay, well, we'll be back next week at 2 p.m.
Hopefully both of us will be here.
At 2 p.m.
Okay.
On Monday with the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Roush.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been listening to the M Squared TechCast on the PodcastDetroit.com network.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Roush and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at podcastdetroit.com.